Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Row, 1025, 1063, the game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Row, Connor Newt here with you on this Thursday morning. John Glennon will be with us at 7:30 from the Nashville Post. We'll get into all things Tennessee Titans with him. Charles Robinson for his weekly visit at 8 o'clock coming up later on the program today. We've talked about Cam Ward a lot this week and Jeffrey Simmons. And apparently, those two have been barking back and forth at each other at the mini camp practices, Joe, which has provided some entertainment out there. And Brian Callahan talked about that yesterday and kind of his perspective on the dynamic of the trash talk, specifically from Cam Ward. Here's what Brian Callahan had to say on that front yesterday.
You alluded to Jeff's just like banter with Cam yesterday, and that maybe bringing some energy. I guess what did you see in Cam's ability to maybe refocus, like get back in the huddle, deliver what needed to be called, and what does that maybe say about who he is and how he can handle it?
Yeah, I'll be honest, I'm not used to calling plays to a quarterback who's usually still talking when I'm talking to him. And that's great. And so I asked him after practice, and I said, "I just help me out here. I said, do you need me to wait till you finish?" And he goes, "No." He goes, "I'm listening." So he's hearing what I'm telling him, and it was a pretty remarkable to see all the things going on and how much he's talking, but like his brain is still like with me, I guess is the best way to put it. Like when I'm calling a play, he's doing all he's doing, but he's listening to everything I'm telling him. And he enters right into the huddle and he calls a play and doesn't script the play call. And I thought that was actually kind of remarkable. I don't know, I couldn't do that. So that's just kind of who he is. That's his personality. And again, if it was something that I felt like was detrimental to his ability to manage the offense and call it in a huddle and all that, I'd probably have a couple things to say to him. But he didn't miss a beat when it came to calling the play and being on top of it and then executing when it came time to execute. So it was new experience for me, but it was fun.
So that was Brian Callahan on Cam Ward. Joe, I got to be honest with you. I kind of love it. I kind of love the trash talk back and forth. And look, it's June. You know, it's mini camp. So it's, you know, sometimes you just got to get through some of these things. And it's going to be a long training camp in the NFL. And look, Jeffrey Simmons, as we know, is not afraid to talk trash out there. I kind of love the fact that not only like Ward was giving it back to him, but that Ward is giving it back to him and still is registering everything that Brian Callahan is telling him in the headset. I don't think I could do that, first off. So congratulations to him for being able to do that. I thought that was pretty cool. Pretty good stuff from Cam Ward that Brian Callahan threw out there yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, that's I like the willingness to immediately you give it back to Jeff Simmons. You know, I think that's fun. And, you know, I know that Kaharski yesterday was sort of down on the whole idea of, and I get it. It's like, you know, you're not part of all this stuff. And then now you're going to come in and make yourself the center of attention and start barking at the rookie and all this stuff. But hey, I mean, that is what Jeff does. That's
yes,
genuinely who he is. He will on the field on a Sunday, or when they do joint workouts with other teams, and when he's going against his own teammates. Jeff Simmons has gotten in many a scrap or close to one with his own teammates in camp
Frakus
before. Yeah, and I mean, again, I don't think that's a bad thing as long as it doesn't actually turn into some kind of adversarial relationship. That's his intensity. So it's interesting, too. I was thinking about this. It's like, so Jeff has come out here and has – you know, tried to, you know what, I'm going to get after this rookie and I'm going to try to shake him up and rattle him on stuff. I don't remember a lot of that with Levis. Did he just think Levis couldn't handle it or something? You know,
I don't know.
Maybe I'm not remembering, but I just don't, I don't really recall anything. Usually it's like Jeff talking trash to the interior offensive lineman in front of him. But I love that Cam Ward is giving it right back to him and going out and seeking him out and headbutting him. And then, yeah, the whole multitasking aspect of it is interesting too. I don't know that you want to make a habit of that. You figure you might screw something up at some point if you keep doing it that way.
Maybe so, but I do like I'm with Callahan. It's kind of incredible that he was able to do that and pull that off. Look, I'll use this as an opportunity to do one of my favorite things that you love about me, and that is take shots at Marcus Mariota. You know, you're not going to sit here. I'm not going to sit here, and you're not going to hear me criticize a quarterback for showing a little bit of fire and showing a little bit of passion when all we talked about in this city for like 5 years was, man, does Mariota have a pulse out there? Like when he started running his mouth after he stiff-armed Barry Church, almost died of shock. I was like, oh my gosh, he's talking out there. What's going on? So, you know, we went through 5 years of that. We've talked about the comments that, you know, Eric Decker made and DeMarco Murray made about how he's got to be more vocal and all those things. Like, I'm not going to sit here and talk about all that and then start getting on Cam Ward for talking trash. Yeah, talk trash. That's fine. I'm totally cool with it.
Got to take the shots. You know, people forget that before a huge game at Nissan Stadium, Mariota gathered everybody and he said, essentially, this is how we earn farting respect.
Yes.
Okay. Said that he screamed at the guys. Now then, and then they proceeded to lose 21-0 to the Baltimore Ravens, who sacked him like 19 times in the game. But it's not like he never talked. But in all seriousness, yeah, you just want that good balance of performance is way more important, but you want some swag out there and you want some intensity. We've talked about Will Levis before. Had Will Levis become a good player in this league, if he ever does, he's going to be I think a relentless trash talker who will be very hated by opponents. It doesn't look good for him to ever really be able to unleash that, you know, because you got to be able to play at a certain level to be able to do so. But he certainly has, I think, the right demeanor. And I think Tannehill was very good in terms of, you know, he was more, maybe a little bit more professorial, but he was a pro. He could get into it with guys. He was vocal with his own guys and mostly let his performance do the talking.
Well, and I'm not saying
what you want.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that, like, I want to see Cam Ward talking trash after every play, right? Like, I mean, I do think there's a time and a place for it when you're a quarterback. But, like, you know, look around the league and you'll find throughout the course of either a game or certainly a season, when the time comes and somebody's like in your quarterback's face, like the quarterback being able to go back at him a little bit is a good thing. And, you know, I think everything we know about Cam Ward to this point, and Lewis Riddick's talked about this, as we know, Lewis Riddick is a big fan of Cam Ward. Like the swag, the confidence, everything that Cam Ward brings to the table, I think he's very, very impressive from that standpoint.
Yeah. And this is him responding.
Yes.
I don't think he's out there.
He's not initiating. Yeah.
Yeah. So, oh, it's a good, and again, I don't mind on the other end either. If this is who you are, if this is your contribution to leadership, you know what? I think that's exactly what Jeff Simmons is good at doing, riling people up, bringing intensity, and just bringing up, you know, seeing how people react to stuff like that. There's value in that. He may not, you know, be great in other aspects of leading, but this is something that he does. And
yeah,
I think it can be effective, especially on game days, his approach. But I kind of like the see what the rookie's got, see if the rookie will respond to you. And it's turned into some early, I think, good signs on Cam Ward.
Let's head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Tim to the program. Tim, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Morning, guys. Look, I come in peace this morning. I'm not going to talk about baseball. What I wanted to talk about was that commercial on this last break about Will Levis. Is that a joke?
What are you talking about? The Will Levis commercial?
Yeah.
I must have missed it. I don't know.
He's doing a camp, and he's advertising on your radio station for kids to come. He's going to be embarrassed when two kids show up.
Hey, I don't know, man. I mean,
who in their right mind would want to go to that camp he's doing?
Why? Does everybody who runs a camp have to be an NFL starter?
Well, I don't know. But
there
I mean,
are not
you know,
any quarterback camps out there from guys. Wait, I think there's guys who aren't in the NFL who do camps, right? Am I wrong about that?
Well, probably, but, you know, when you take a break in his, you know, most people give him Gatorade and you'll be drinking mayonnaise in his.
Good thing. Thank you for the call, Tim. Appreciate it. Can you imagine like a Tim?
Mayo flavored.
Yeah, like a mayo flavored Gatorade. Doesn't that fire you up?
Mayo-aid.
Oh, good stuff.
I mean, there are some weird, there's some weird flavors of some of these things out there, especially when some of these products try like experimental, like, you know, you see like whatever, like, you know, Doritos that are like lime, whatever, tequila Doritos. I mean, like, a mayo flavored, Gatorade, you know, that's an interesting thought, but seriously, I didn't hear it either, but, I think people go to his camp. No, I mean, obviously, yeah, a year ago that would have been
stunned
a much
like
hotter
some of the
ticket.
Camps that people go to. Yeah,
yeah, and some of the camps that people run.
Yeah, exactly.
I was an all-star quarterback in the Greater Manassas Football League in the fall of 1983. Why can't I run a quarterback camp?
Who's to stop you? I mean, that may be something we have to put together here on the program. I'm just glad, you know, Tim and I got through that call and. It felt good. I feel like we're back on course, Tim and I.
Someone told – so who was it telling us that he threw out his Vanderbilt over Tennessee take and Stilly, like, they like had, like, a mutual admiration little call?
I mean, are we surprised by that?
No.
Okay.
Not surprised. Disappointed, Jerry, but not surprised.
615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll continue the Cam Ward discussion coming up next, including some thoughts from J.C. Latham on his quarterback. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, on Cam Ward, on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll have John Glennon coming up at 7:30, get his thoughts on all things Titans as well. We talked about Cam Ward kind of barking back and forth with Jeffrey Simmons and some of the things that have gone on there. J.C. Latham was talking about Cam Ward and what has stood out to him to this point on that perspective. Here's what J.C. Latham had to say about his quarterback.
He holds himself to a leadership accountability. He'll admit when he's wrong, and he'll take accountability, even if, you know, it's not 100% on him. But I think one thing that really speaks out about Cam, I don't know if you guys saw it, but, you know, Jeff likes to talk a lot of mess out there. And, you know, Cam is all for it, and he's matching it. And then Jeff must have got a little close to him, and Cam headbutted Jeff. So it's like, you know, like, as a quarterback, especially a rookie who, you know, hasn't even played his first snap, to, you know, see Jeff as, like, top dog of the team, like, you know, he's going right at him. He's not backing down. He's not like, oh, I'm just some quarterback. Like, he's going right at him, you know what I mean, the head of the snake. So, you know, that's the quarterback he is. So, you know, it's a pleasure playing with him.
So Cam Ward not afraid to throw the head around out there, Joe, throwing the headbutt at Jeffrey Simmons, which apparently left a very positive impact on his teammates there. What'd you make of what Latham had to say on the Cam Ward front?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that's another indication of the taking the blame thing. That's a good thing too. So that's a positive. And then obviously, yeah, the teammates liked what we did. I mean, you don't want to make a habit of headbutting things. You know, I keep thinking of Gus Frerotte headbutting the wall after scoring.
Yeah,
and then like having a neck injury from it. So you got to be careful with that stuff. Jeff's a big guy too. And I mean, I would hope it seems like this is Jeff pushing the rookie, seeing what he's got, but also Jeff does lose his temper, as we know. So you don't ultimately want to get into a scrap with him, but hey, he's making an impression. We do have some positive reviews, by the way, of the Will Levis camps.
Do we?
Phil on the text line. We do. He said it was a fantastic camp last year. It was great with the kids. Jason Gillisville says the camp session included adjusting your baseball cap, selecting proper earpiece, clipboard holding, and acting excited for the starter. Sign up now. Again, if we're confining QB camps to starters and NFL teams, my goodness, we got a little bit of a shortage of QB camps in this country, I'd say.
When's the Tim Boyle camp? That's what we really need. Get Tim Boyle's camp out there ready to go. Just the alternate weeks in the Titans quarterback room right now. Brandon Allen can be a little bit later, and Cam Ward right before camp.
I mean, I would actually think that guys who aren't starting might have a little more time to come up with good ideas. I mean, the camp needs to be good, not just, look, I'm an awesome QB, guys. Okay, throw the ball around. You know? I mean, what's the actual content of the camp? Isn't that what matters?
You would think so. You would think so. I mean, look, I mean, the Cam Ward trash talk, the willingness to get in there, how much does it mean? Again, it doesn't mean a whole lot if he's not consistently accurate with the football and can't make the throws by the time game day comes around. So that's always kind of in the backdrop of all of these conversations that we have about Cam Ward. I mean, there's a lot to like about him. There was a lot to like about Will Levis, too, in terms of like the makeup and the study habits and all those things, and it just didn't translate to the field. So ultimately, that's going to end up being the most important thing there. But I do the confidence part of it, and watching him and the way that he handles himself in media settings, the way that he seems like he handles himself with his teammates. I think back to like the draft process and the Titans coming away with an incredibly strong feeling that he's their guy. And they've talked about that. Like, the more they got to know him, the more they were convinced. Like, it's not hard when you look at it to see why they fell in love with the dude. And then again, it comes back to, can he play on game day? But all that other stuff around him right now, like the way it's gone so far here with the Titans, like even going back to the, you know, waking up at 5 a.m. and leading the meetings with the rookies and all, like all that stuff, it's pretty easy to see why the Titans loved him in the draft process the way that they did.
Yeah, I mean, no question. And again, it comes down to performance. But all indications around, you know, him trying to be a quarterback, him trying to be a leader of a team, all that stuff, I don't think it's fake. I think it's real. And he just has a good kind of balance of, you know, confidence, swagger, but also not afraid to raise his hand if he makes a mistake, all that stuff. Not afraid to mix it up with that's what Jeff Simmons is. He's the star of the team. You know, like it or not, that's the reality for the Tennessee Titans. So, I think it's all positive indications. It's just there's a lot of fantastic guys who are really good at quarterback who aren't quite good enough to be a starter or aren't quite good enough to be anything but a mediocre starter. And that's at some point we'll get to those questions. But for now, we have all the positive things about Cam Ward that you can get excited about.
Well, apparently a step back into the fold for the defense yesterday. I mean, we talked about Cam Ward and the 18 consecutive completions in day one. Apparently a better day for the defense yesterday, although the Titans did tweet out a very nice clip of Cam Ward dropping back and floating in an absolute dime to Calvin Ridley over the shoulder in yesterday's practice. So still some good throws from Cam Ward out there. But apparently the defense responded after some of Titans Twitter thought Cam Ward had the greatest day in the history of football practices 2 days ago, Joe.
Yeah, it's funny how that works, right? Some of these things are just so, like, and it'll happen in camp too. There'll be a day where Cam Ward will torch the defense, and so then it's like, get excited about him. Get excited about whichever receiver had two touchdowns. But then also, ooh, what's up with that secondary? Why can't they affect the quarterback? And then the next day, the defense will come back out and win. And so you're like, okay, there you go. Showing a little bit of that defense. Ooh, but what about the pass protection? And is this rookie ready to play QB? And we'll just dance all the way until we actually get football. Long way away still, Robbie.
Still a long way
Sometimes
away.
It's really sobering.
It is very sobering.
Especially when we're almost done with the finals and in the NBA and NHL, but at least some of you out there don't care. So that's
well. And then we get to the actual camp, and everybody's excited for training camp to be here. And then you realize, and we go through this every year, once like week one of training camp gets here, it's like, oh, good. So now we got like four more weeks of this before actual football starts to get played. So you get to the camp part of it, and then about 3 days into training camp for me, I'm like, well, this is cool. When do the actual football games start?
Yeah, I know. And it'll actually be so exciting when training camp starts, which is, 6 weeks away. But then it's like, it really is like, it's like a sugar rush of like
Yeah.
2, 3 days. And then you're like, oh God. But kudos to football for is staying in the conversation throughout all that stuff. It's really kind of amazing when you think about it.
That's what it does. 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. We'll be joined by John Glennon from the Nashville Post coming up next. We'll get his thoughts on all things Tennessee Titans and what he's seen at minicamp to this point. This week's Nashville's Best Deal is Staley's Chicago Italian Dining, one of Nashville's best-kept secrets and winners of numerous Best Of awards. Enjoy authentic Italian beef sandwiches, Vienna Chicago dogs, and the best gyros south of Chicago. Get half off a $20 gift card while supplies last at thegamenashville.com/deals. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Connor Newt here with you on this Thursday morning. Talking some Titans. And to help us do that, we head to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend John Glennon from the Nashville Post. Johnny, good morning. How are you?
I am doing wonderfully. How are you guys doing?
We are also doing wonderfully. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So, John, let's start with Jeffrey Simmons. He's not there, obviously, in OTAs. He's been there this week in mandatory minicamp. He talked about just making a personal decision to not be there for the OTA. So what do you make of the reasoning that he gave earlier this week? And what do you make of kind of the jawing back and forth, the trash talk between him and Cam Ward to this point in minicamp?
You know, it really doesn't bother me in the least. I don't think if I'm a Titans fan that the Jeffrey Simmons missed voluntary OTAs. This is a guy who's been in the Pro Bowl 3 of the last 4 years. You know, he had some of his best numbers of his career last year in various categories. He's proven himself, and voluntary OTAs aren't going to make him that much a better player. He was dealing with the same head coach, the same coordinator, same position coach, same scheme. There's no overwhelming reason that Jeffrey Simmons has to be in there. And certainly over the years, plenty of Titans have missed voluntary OTAs, plenty of Titans veterans. So that doesn't bother me. And I would have to say I enjoyed the other day watching Simmons and Cam Ward kind of go back and forth at one another. I think, and Jeffrey Simmons kind of alluded to it afterwards as well. He said, some of this was sort of, pre-planned in a way. He had talked to Cam Ward a few days earlier, because he had heard that Cam Ward had been talking a little smack to defenders, and Jeffrey Simmons basically said, look, I'm going to be giving it back to you as well. I'm going to be giving plenty to you. And I think that's where it stemmed from. And it's just natural to kind of put the rookie quarterback through that. I think it's a good thing. And to see the way that Cam Ward reacted to it, by not only kind of jumping right back in the huddle after a tough play and excelling, but sort of keeping his poise, not letting it rattle him, going right back at Jeffrey Simmons verbally too. I think that has to be a good sign. So I think Jeffrey Simmons probably did the rookie some good there.
So on both of those guys, quick questions, John. A two-part question. What do you feel about, Simmons missing voluntaries and how do you think he's, reacted now? What do you think, does that matter? And what kind of leadership do you think, is realistic for him? And then on the Cam Ward front, just how do you think he has played? And I know it's, this is the time of year when things can be very deceiving, but what are your just initial impressions of watching him play right now?
On the Cam Ward front, I think there's certainly plenty of reasons to be optimistic. We've seen, some good traits, some very good traits, the arm strength, the accuracy, the poise and the confidence. I think the aggressiveness as well is probably a good thing. There's been a lot of instances, where they've worked on third downs and so forth. And you know, Cam Ward doesn't strike me so far as the guy who's going to be doing a whole lot of checking down. You know, maybe at some point he'll be reined in. But I think it's a good thing for Cam Ward to be taking some chances right now. This is the time to do it, to find out what he can do, you know, and what he shouldn't be doing. So I like a lot about Cam Ward. It's going to be up and down in terms of the accuracy. Obviously, there are some concerns as well. You know, we've seen him be late on throws from time to time. I've seen him kind of lock in a little bit too much on wide receivers from time to time. You know, that can be an issue as well. But, you know, I really like just kind of watching him, even when he's not throwing the ball, just kind of the relationships and kind of the chemistry you see him forming with various players and veterans as well, which I'm sure is not an easy task for a rookie quarterback to be coming in there. And I think maybe most importantly, we're seeing that relationship with Calvin Ridley. And I think we all remember how much of a challenge it was last season for Will Levis and Calvin Ridley to kind of get on the same page early. That was a big problem in training camp, and it extended into the season. You know, and I think we've seen anything but that from Cam Ward and Calvin Ridley. I think they're very much on the same page. I think they've clicked on and off the field. So I think that's a really good sign as well. And in terms of Simmons, you know, again, it does not bother me that he's missing the voluntary OTAs. That's fairly common. He's not going to be a better player if he's at the OTAs, I don't think. You know, he showed up in great shape. He was, you know, he's 15, 20 pounds lighter. So, you know, that shouldn't be a concern in my mind. You know, I think he's made a good, quick impression, both in terms of the energy that he's brought and you know, making some plays out there as well. I think Jeffrey Simmons does have to, even though, as I noted earlier, he's made the Pro Bowl three of the last 4 years, but I think there's another level that we need to see of Jeffrey Simmons, and he needs to return to it this year. You know, there's been a lot of talk about double teaming, and Jeffrey Simmons certainly gets a ton of double teams, but he still has to be a guy who can overcome that from time to time and make plays nonetheless. And maybe we'd like to hear a little bit less from Jeffrey Simmons talking about double teams and how other guys can excel when he's double teamed, and maybe a little bit more from Jeffrey Simmons about, hey, even though I'm double teamed, I've still got to make plays as well.
So, John, it's going to be a fascinating camp in terms of the receiving group and how that plays out for the Titans. I got like four guys that I think are probably locks when you're talking about Ridley, Lockett, and then the two rookie fourth rounders. And you could throw Van Jefferson in there too if you want to, I guess. But what do you make of kind of the back end of the receiving room, how Restrepo could factor into that, and what that competition is going to look like in your mind as we get into training camp?
I agree. I think the back end of that is going to be very interesting. You know, I mean, and the biggest name, obviously, there that you didn't mention is Treylon Burks, you know, and we all know the issues he's had so far in terms of injuries and even when he's been in, you know, he's been subpar. But, you know, he's a first-round pick, and I think optimism kind of dies hard when it comes to first-round picks. There's always going to be that thought in the back of coaches or players or people's minds that there has to be some potential. There has to be a better player here somewhere. So I think, you know, I think the Titans are in a good position with Treylon Burks to say that, look, you know, anything that you can give us now is gravy, because even if you can't perform real well for us, we're set up okay without you. But I still want to see, you know, if he has one last gasp of you know, maybe a chance of a better impact this year, you know, and some of the other guys too as well. Certainly Restrepo has been very noticeable here in the OTAs and in minicamp as well. And you just can't ignore the connection with Cam Ward nor the production that he put up in college against high-level opponents. So I think that's going to be a good guy to watch. You know, James Procci is a guy that has probably got certainly the most return experience for the Titans. Can they find a spot for him, you know, on the roster if he's a return specialist? And, you know, one other name that certainly Brian Callahan talked a lot about early in the offseason, you know, maybe not so much since the receiving room has changed, but Bryce Oliver showed us some good plays last season, you know, seemingly has a decent amount of potential. So I think he'll factor in that competitive mix as well. So, yeah, I agree with you. There's going to be some interesting decisions that have to be made there.
Yeah, the Restrepo thing is obviously the fan base is completely enamored with them. I did find it interesting, and I've gone on the record, Johnny, that I think he's going to make the team, but I thought the fossil stuff yesterday on how he actually does potentially fit on special teams was interesting. I'd never thought about it in those terms. Like you said, the Prochet, or however you say his name, you know, if you have a returner who really is a threat, that's something that they've lacked. And it just seems to me like Jaquan Jackson is not that guy.
No, he doesn't appear to be. You know, I think that was a bit of a bust pick. Or you know, I mean, he's certainly going to get his chance, but I don't see it happening right now. You know, I mean, basically he was picked. I think there was some idea in the pick of Jaquan Jackson that, hey, we don't know necessarily what the rules or what the new kickoff guidelines are going to look like, what returns are going to look like. Let's be safe and get a guy who's got a good amount of return experience and has done fairly well in that regard. But really, he has yet to show that he can excel in that role. And certainly, we know he had the difficulties with putting the ball on the ground last year, you know, which is pretty much a death knell for anybody who wants to return punts. And unfortunately for Jaquan Jackson, if that's your forte, the return game, and you're not that much of a proven commodity as a receiver right now, you know, you could be in trouble when the numbers game comes around.
John, last thing for you here. We did this exercise, I think, last week, and I'm looking at their group of pass rushers right now, and I'm wondering, like, is anybody getting anywhere close to, like, 7 or 8 sacks? Like, is that going to happen for anybody this year? And Jeffrey Simmons, I guess, is probably the best candidate there. I think his career high is 8.5 back in 2021. But, John, right now I'm looking at the edge rusher group, and I don't know that there's anybody that's going to make it to, like, 6. What do you make of kind of that, and how low do you think this sack total number could be for this team this year?
Yeah, it's a little bit concerning when you think about that picture that the Titans, you know, finished, I think, 29th last year with 32 sacks. And that was with Harold Landry, who had 9 of those sacks. You know, yeah, Arden Key is kind of a good number 2 pass rusher. Don't think he's ever topped, you know, 7 in terms of sacks. Draymond Jones is kind of in the same light, you know, a guy who's had maybe 5, 6 sacks a couple of years. You know, and I think Femi Oladeo, I think, is going to be good, but still, how much can you expect of a rookie who only played that position for 1 year in college? You know, I think it kind of limits your expectations there. So, yeah, it's going to be, a different kind of pass rush that they want. You know, Denard Wilson and Brian Callahan have both talked about how they want the powerful, the big guys they have to kind of just crush the pocket, kind of power rush from the edge. You know, and that goes for the guys in the middle too, whether it's Simmons and Sweat at times or a guy like Sebastian Joseph Bey as well. So, yeah, I mean, I think they're a bigger team on the edge, but I don't necessarily think that makes them a better pass rushing team on the edge. I think that's going to be a pretty significant concern. So we'll see if the idea of getting bigger, more powerful guys out there. I guess we should mention Lorenzo Carter as well, a free agent they picked up, who's had some success in the past, certainly not last year. But that's a challenge, you know, when you finished so low last year, you lost your best guy and you didn't necessarily replace them with an ace. You know, it's certainly going to take a team effort. I think, you know, Simmons has to be better. They've talked about how Tavondre Sweat, as good as he is against the run, needs to show a little bit more in the pass rush game as well. But, you know, I think there's only so much you can expect of Sweat, a guy who had 5 sacks in 5 years at Texas. He had 1 sack last year. He might get you a couple more this year, but certainly not going to be the kind of guy that turns around pass rush production. So certainly one of the big questions, I think, still remaining for the Titans as we look ahead to training camp.
Well, John, great stuff as always. We know that you wouldn't wake up this early for just anyone, so we appreciate your love for us. We love you, and we will talk to you soon.
And I appreciate that love. Thank you, guys.
Yes, thank you. John Glennon from the National Post, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road coming up next. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports will be with us at 8 o'clock. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Can you imagine like a tip,
mayo
like
flavored?
Like a mayo flavored Gatorade. Doesn't that fire you up?
Mayo-Aid.
Oh, good stuff.
I mean, there are some weird. Yeah. There's some weird flavors of some of these things out there, especially when some of these products try like experimental. Like you see like whatever like. You know, Doritos that are like lime, whatever, tequila Doritos. I mean, like, so, I mean, a mayo flavored Gatorade.
It is that time of the day. Time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road, who may have just stumbled onto something with the lime tequila flavored Dorito. We got to contact the folks at Doritos and see if they're down for that sort of a flavor there, Joe.
If they haven't already created it. So I need to just be ready. So basically, whatever the dumbest thing I say in the first hour and a half of the show is what Connor Newt will immediately put back in my face for the rant.
Yeah, pretty much.
Tomorrow I need to just say nothing but smart stuff. I'm going to say nothing but smart stuff for the whole
time in program history.
The show.
You are starting to sound like Stilly,
exactly.
Aren't you?
To try to trip him up a little bit, you know. It's like, wow, it's all so smart. What do I do with this stuff? By the way, so LD from McMinnville is texting us about, and you heard this, Robbie. Well, apparently there was an explosive argument in the TD Power Hour yesterday.
Wasn't the TD Power. The TD Power Hour is later today, but you know, TD heard Stilly basically talking about very quickly sum it up. I'm not going to be able to do this justice, so I would suggest just going back and listening to it. But basically, to sum things up, Jared was talking about Kuharsky's, like, you know, Kuharsky's rant yesterday about him having to be the one to ask Jeffrey Simmons questions. And he was talking about, you know, the Terry McCormick part of it and all that stuff. Anyway, so TD got on with Jared and hopped on and was like basically talking about how he's talked with Jeffrey Simmons, not in a press conference setting, about all these things. And they just kind of went back and forth on the validity of all that. So I would suggest you go back and listen to it. It was pretty funny.
Okay. I'll check that out. Yeah. I saw TD tweeted at Kuharsky, about that same thing when he was talking about no one asking Jeff about the lawsuit thing. So, you know, that's an interesting topic because there's still like a on the record in front of everybody, you know, here's a question that needs to be asked thing, right? Even if people are doing their jobs and having conversations elsewhere, but interesting. Okay. Today, as soon as our show ends, news will be made. I don't know, but it is the 13th congressional hearing on college sports before a House subcommittee. And, you know, I have to get into this thing, and Ross Dellinger tweeted this out. This is William King, an SEC associate commissioner, who is there's some good back and forth here, but I just want to read something he said. I think there's just so much, and I guess you could take it well beyond college sports, but so much just shell game, spin job, and just not having, to me, a good faith conversation about things. So here's what he says about, you know, big part of this. A lot of this is like, obviously, the different state laws, getting them, you know, preempting them. In this claim, it's like, we're not looking for full antitrust exemption. We're just looking to be protected from lawsuits. I guess I don't know the difference there. I mean, it's like, you know, like you're going to have a hard time being protected from lawsuits unless you have that antitrust exemption. But this is the thing that I really bothers me, Robbie, and this is, again, William King of the SEC says, quote, Congress also needs to address the issue of college athletes as employees. The SEC athletes we speak to do not want to be employees of the university. I'll go further down in this. the impact of employee status for college athletes would be devastating and cause many Division I schools to abandon athletics altogether, while those with greater resources, I think, would reduce the number of sports they offer. The general public does not understand, blah, blah, blah. Adding the variant, quote, adding the significant cost of employee wages and benefits to the equation will leave Division I schools with exceedingly difficult decisions about the future of their athletic departments. So, again, there are many, many lawyers in the world who are very interested in this case, and one I've spoken to, but certainly have seen many others quoted on the record saying collective bargaining does not have to come with complete employee status, full benefits, et cetera, et cetera. That's just BS. And, you know, Danny White, pretty smart guy, the University of Tennessee. I just saw Danny White talking to the chancellor of Tennessee saying, yeah, it's going to have to be a collective bargaining at some point so that everybody can agree on some cap or some, here's the income. And again, this is also BS coming from the SEC guy in terms of making it out like it's just money from, like, the school itself is just paying the money. Obviously this is booster generated, right? I mean, it, you know, you can play shell game all you want, but the bottom line is if you don't have money people who are supplying this money to try to go get players, then you're not going to be competitive. I mean, it's just BS. And again, the problem is a lot of people in Congress don't have a damn clue about college athletics. And so they're going to run this committee. And if you listen to it today, you will hear some stuff said that you're like, so you've never, like, even watched a down of college football, have you? But there, that's where we are. We're to the point where these college athletics leaders are just begging and praying that they're going to get a life vet jacket from Congress. And, you know, I don't think it's going to happen, but even just the discourse bothers me. So the NCPA, that's the National College Players Association, has responded to this with a blistering statement, which I won't read the whole thing. But again, they're also saying this, it's called the SCORE Act is what they're trying to push through. You know, would basically allow the NCAA conferences to continue to eliminate athlete roster sports and cut entire Olympic sports. So both sides are claiming that if your way goes, Olympic sports are going to be cut. The reality is there's going to be some Olympic sports cut. I mean, that's just what it is. I just wish that, you know, people could have an honest conversation about this. And until you get to that, you know, we're just going to keep screwing things up.
Reminds me of the arbitrator back in the day with MLB who was doing this case. And I forget who the case was, but they asked about RBIs. And then they were like, what is an RBI? And it's like, oh, good. Well, I'm real glad that you're the one that's hearing this case when you don't know what an RBI is.
Oh, man. Yeah. I mean, I forget what it was last year when they had one of these meetings, but it was like, it was jaw dropping. Like, how do you even, like, live in this country and have that little knowledge about college athletics? So it's just, again, I don't blame them for trying this. But to me, it seems like you should probably get to the point where when you look at all the outcomes of these court cases, you get to the point where rather than begging for protection, you set up a system that doesn't have to have protection. And it really isn't that hard. It doesn't have to be the full employment. And again, that to me is, so you are now disingenuously saying it has to be just because, I mean, to me, you just know that you're going to have to share a bigger chunk of the money rather than 20% where we are now, or 22%, which is how we got to this number of 20.5, you're going to have to share a bigger chunk because in the pro leagues, it's pretty close to 50-50. And that's what they're trying to avoid.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports will be with us coming up next. We'll get into the Titans and all things NFL with him. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3. The